Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A couple was arrested after beating each other in the parking lot of Dollar General.
Yep. Tensions always flare at Dollar General, Preston.
Well, these two were fighting over booze.
Dollar booze?
Yeah, sheriff's deputies arrived at the Dollar General in reference to a disturbance there. He found a man and a woman who said they had been dating for about 6 months.
About 6 months, the old lady always giving me crap.
They both admitted to drinking before the incident and were on their way to purchase more alcohol. The woman told the deputy that she was battered by the man but wouldn't admit to battering him. The man said she actually battered him and shoved dirt in his mouth.
Dirt?
But didn't admit to battering her. The man had bruises on his hip, back, and forehead. He also had stitches on his nose.
And I got dirt in my mouth.
From a previous unreported fight with the woman. The woman had bruises on her body that appeared to be old, by the way.
Hearing this story makes me think of Jack and Rose from Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just a love affair of the ages, yes.
Two witnesses called to report the fight, one saying the man was hitting the woman, the other one saying the woman was hitting the man. So they were both arrested for battery. Thousands of Irish women shed their inhibitions and their clothes on a secluded beach 50 kilometers south of Dublin on Saturday for a world record setting skinny dip to raise funds for a children's cancer charity. Lucia Singagalisi, the Guinness World Records official that adjudicated the naked swim, said that 2,505 women spent at least 5 minutes in the sea to set a new world record.
All right, ladies, time to get our pasty white skin freckles and overly sized bushy pubes into the ocean.
The previous record was set in Western Australia in 2015 when 786 participants swam naked to promote a positive body image. On Saturday, the sea temperature where the Irish swim was held was bracing. It says 12 degrees at Celsius. So you double that and add 32, right?
Yeah, it was warm enough.
Oh, my God. It was in the 50s? Yeah. Are you kidding me? Or no, it would have been maybe the 60s, but that's still...
Like 56, 57.
The water would have been 120 degrees.
That is freezing cold water. Swim has been an annual event, by the way, ever since it was started by Dee Featherstone in 2013. Just weeks after her own mastectomy, the events have raised more than 150,000 euros, not including what will be relayed this year.
Oh, that's a chunk of change. It's awesome.
Deirdre Betson, who is from Dunboyne, said, "Oh, my God, it was amazing."
So just to be there with my sisters, trying not to look at each other's vaginas.
She said, "I've never been naked in front of anybody before except my husband, and it was brilliant and bracing. It was great crack," she said.
Great crack. Tons of crack all over the place. Little tiny cracks going vertically.
Yeah.
Front crack, back crack. Crack. Yeah. Knick-knack, paddywhack, everybody's got a crack.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you, thank you.
Bravo.
I write poetry.
A woman who has celebrating turning 103 years old, a British woman, by the way, says that she is still on the lookout for a toy boy and cannot wait for her next game of bingo. Doris Harkness spent her big day yesterday with friends and staff members at Castle Park Nursing Home. Mrs. Harkness, who started to work at the age of 14 and did not retire until she turned 84, is still full of life and regularly entertains people with her singing at the home. She said, "I'm 103 and I've had a great life. I'm very proud to have reached this age, but I'm still only 103. I'm a spring chicken and I'm
a toy boy.
I'm still on the lookout for a toy boy," she says.
"And it wouldn't hurt if when I pooped, I didn't scream in agony."
She said, while looking in the direction of another resident, she said, "There's one over there somewhere."
103, huh?
Yeah, the twice married widow said that she could not have wished for a better day. She said, "We've all had a lot of fun. I love staying here. I couldn't imagine manage on my own anymore, but this is a really nice place, and all the staff work very hard and really appreciate." So
compare that to the story you saw, that story floating around, President, that Russian or that woman who's lived to supposedly 120, 121, who's
no way.
Basically said, "My life has been unrelenting misery."
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one's having a better time.
It sounds like she is, yeah. So she originally worked making corsets back in the
day.
So. A Florida man had to be separated.
Florida man, Florida man.
had to be separated from his capuchin monkey after he was arrested for reportedly driving a stolen vehicle into a ditch while on vacation.
This is the most bizarre footage you're going to see.
This is in Holiday, Florida. The monkey, named Monk, is seen clinging to the shirt of Cody Blake Hessen, who was arrested for auto theft. Monk was wearing a diaper, by the way.
Of course.
Hessen did not have a permit for the animal and could face additional charges because of that.
The monkey's very cute. The owner's stupid.
Yes. So they didn't expect the capuchin monkey that he had with him. The Florida Wildlife Commission...
He likes to drink a lot.
...took possession of the monkey and transported it to the primate sanctuary.
I've talked to him, but there's... something else. There's an issue there that he just won't deal with.
As Hessen didn't have a permit for the animal. In the video, Hessen and Monk share a goodbye hug before the animal was confiscated.
I just gotta get out of goddamn Florida.
All right, and then one more story, and then we'll wrap it up. And this one, I really don't understand, but I'm going to go with it.
It's fine.
A 70-year-old sign outside of the Old Chief Seattle Motel is getting all new attention. The motel has since been converted into apartments, but instead of advertising vacancies, it now reads on the on the marquee, "Three cheers for heroin." Pete, a repairman for the property, told a news station he's now considering taking the sign down after it was struck Wednesday morning and hit by a hit-and-run driver.
Who was probably on heroin.
He said people are sad to see the sign destroyed, but they say three cheers for heroin up there is an attempt to poke fun at the situation.
And that situation being?
I don't know. The property owner said that he doesn't know for a fact if it was heroin that led to the accident, but he says the new slogan was a primal reaction and now hopes his insurance will be able to help cover the sign and once again light up the street. So I don't get it. But anyhow.
Maybe is he a very zealous heroin user?
Maybe it's that.
Yeah. I just enjoy it, and I think it's getting a bad rap.
Might be pro-heroin for all I know.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
A 9-year-old girl is reportedly in rehab for her addiction to online video games, and the one in particular is Fortnite.
You knew this was going to happen. Yep.
The girl is said to have actually wet her pants during a 10-hour-long binge and even hit her dad in the face when he tried to take away her Xbox console.
Man. I'm hearing that kids are now waiting for their parents to go to bed, and then they sneak downstairs.
Sure.
Whatever happened to just watching scrambled porn?
Yeah. The girl's mom, Carol, said, "We had no idea when we let her play the game of the addictive nature or the impact that it could have on her mental health. She is in therapy for the addiction after she became withdrawn, agitated, and disturbed from playing up to 10 hours a day, sometimes playing until dawn, wetting herself so she didn't have to leave the screen." Oh,
so the parents totally miss her having a 10-hour marathon of the game?
No, I mean, I think she was doing it, and then it just started, she kept doing it and didn't break away from it. So.
Hey, sweetie, in 11 or 12 hours when you're done, why don't you come down for dinner?
Psychologist Dr. Linda Papadopoulos warned that parents need to look out for changes in behavior and make sure their child has a good balance with other social and physical activities as well.
My son has been playing for about 2 days now.
And straight?
Not straight. And yesterday when we were driving back from the shore, I had to tell him, "You're not allowed to talk about Fortnite for 2 hours." Because
you've unleashed the beast, haven't you?
Unfortunately,
you know what?
Have.
Sometimes you have to distract them with crack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Look at this white powder in this vial. Isn't this interesting?
A New Yorker walking through Washington Square Park tried to break up a fight and found himself being attacked with a tarp filled with lug nuts. James Key.
The randomness of attacks these days.
Said he was in the park with his girlfriend when he saw one man beating another while screaming a derogatory term for homosexual at him.
He fought back with a knapsack filled with doorknobs.
Key said, "I made an impulsive, probably stupid decision to break up the fight." He grabbed the alleged attacker, a guy named Roland Pacheco, and tried to pull him off of the victim, but then he came under attack. I said, "Okay, now you're going to go to jail." And I started dialing 911 with one hand. The guy repeatedly sweep-kicked me and then started punching me in the face.
Jeez.
I then sent my phone down so I could protect myself and try to make a citizen's arrest. Pacheco, according to a video of the incident, grabbed a tarp with heavy lugs inside of it and began hitting Key over and over with the gladiator-like weapon.
What the hell? Does he keep a, just a, those as lucky lug nuts?
I never did find out why this guy had that there. Key
we
said,
like to go out to the park. I bring my lug nuts.
Key said, I'm taking the kicks. I don't know exactly where the weapons came from. All of a sudden, it's in his hands. And at that point, I realized the guy could kill me. Key said he tried to disarm him as he was being hit with the weapon and finally got Pacheco to the ground. He said, I'm not trying to fight the guy. I was just trying to restrain him. In the midst of that, a tourist looked on. Two other people started fighting. Pacheco's son and another man. Police arrived, and Key said that as he let go of his assailant, Pacheco sucker punched him in the face several more times.
Bastard.
Cops restrained Pacheco and cuffed him. The German native was charged with assault and was being held on $5,000 bond.
I was just enjoying some outside time with my lug nuts.
Key said Pacheco's slurs against gays didn't help him because Key's dad happens to be gay. Key suffered several deep bruises to his arm, including one shaped like a lug nut.
Like a lug nut.
Yep. Pacheco has 8 priors, but police declined to disclose details about those arrests.
It's insane.
A brazen couple in the UK, I believe it was in the UK, were caught romping on a gravestone. By that, I mean having sex in broad daylight.
Interesting.
The shameless pair were filmed having sex by an appalled dog walker in the middle of a Greater Manchester Church cemetery and didn't even stop when they noticed him. The couple were caught going at it. Scott Elwood spotted the couple atop of the 1890s headstone in full view of a dozen of his houses.
Oh, we're watching it right now. Yeah, it's right out in the open there.
Yeah, the man had his pants around his ankles, and the 35-year-old blonde partner was lying on her back on top of the grave marker.
Jeez. My God. Scott, to me, I think that's a little disrespectful.
Scott filmed the explicit scenes before he called them scruffy C-words and called the police. He shared the footage on Facebook and was stunned when the man hit back by saying he's not arsed.
C-words?
Which I don't know
what
that
means. Is that how you spell nerf herders?
Not arsed.
Oh.
After the clip went viral, he commented, just try to have some fun in your life, bro. Take a risk now and again. You will feel the buzz of being caught. That's what this guy who was... Okay.
Oh, boy.
I think they're looking for this guy.
I mean, you could even go, I don't know, go behind the tombstone.
Yeah. Let's see. What else I have for you? Strange phenomenon is now appearing in the mountains of the Pacific Northwest. Big pink ponds are dotting the higher elevations, a result of something called watermelon snow.
You're talking about BPPs.
Yep, or watermelon snow. Everyone was confused, said Dr. Robin Codner, an assistant professor of biology at Western Washington University. We wondered what this was. Is this contamination? Is it a toxic thing?
There's a simple explanation. There are super gigantic watermelons up in the mountains.
Codner is the first to study the phenomenon. It stems from an algae that turns snow pink at seemingly random times and places. Watermelon snow is a relatively regular occurrence and has been spotted from Washington to Peru.
I've never heard of watermelon snow.
While it is pretty to look at, Dr. Codner worries the algae may actually make snow melt faster, creating, quote, a perfect watermelon snowstorm for the world's melting glaciers. He said it could be creating a positive feedback loop for melting glaciers. The more the glaciers melt, the better the habitat for algae. The more the algae grows, the more the snow melts, and the quicker the glaciers disappear. I had never heard of this before.
Why are we the last to hear about this?
Codner doesn't think the algae is a huge risk right now, but she says the situation merits much more study. And then we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. Let's go with...
go with that one.
No, I'm not going to go with that one.
You don't like it?
How about this one? John Reed's home has long been an oasis for he and his wife, but on Sunday, trouble came knocking at their front door. He said, my dog went crazy barking. I hear somebody beating, so I went to the door to see who it was. It was around 4:40 a.m. Reed, who will turn 68 within a month, opened the door. There he was, met with two men. One of them rushed in. He said, slung me against the sofa there.
Over
and
there?
I went down because I had a stroke and I can't move too good.
So here he comes.
The assailant, armed with a knife, made his way into Reed's home while the other man stayed in the doorway. He held me with one hand, had the knife at me with the other one, talking about he wanted the money. As Reed told the man where his wallet was, his wife came to the room. I told her, go back, girl. Go back. I got this.
I says, Eunice, run.
The guy with the knife said.
He's talking crazy talk.
Said, go
watermelon get her. Watermelon snow.
She'll call the police. And I said, no, no, she ain't got a telephone. I got the telephone in here with me. As Reed's wife retreated, the man started rummaging through his wallet. He looked down, and I started counting money. And when he looked down, I hit him with my walking cane. He said,
square on the back of the noggin.
Hit the man across the neck and shoulder. He swung at me with the knife. I hit him on the arm.
And I look at him. I see he's eyeing up my bottle cap collection.
He swung at me again with the knife, like jabbing me. As Reed continued to strike the man with his cane, the robbers withdrew and ran from the home. Reed had been cut and was treated by EMS at the home. He said the second suspect never came into the home. Instead, he stayed in the doorway. He said he really didn't want to come in, afraid I'd recognize him or something.
That's right. See what they both don't know is that I have a tarp full of lug nuts at the ready.
Police say this case is a priority, and they've been investigating the crime ever since. In the meantime, Reed has a message for the men who robbed and assaulted him. He said, I may be old and had a stroke, but I'm not weak.
But I crap myself.
He said, the guy standing at the door, I think I know who you are, and you're mine.
Damn.
Ain't having it.
Want to dance with the devil?
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.